no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
We're on the phone now with Lara Pullen in Canberra. She's a Latin American solidarity activist, and she's got some breaking news from El Salvador. In fact, I think it was only it only came out yesterday. And it appears the FMLN is so confident of winning the election next year that they've already tabled legislation that, on the face of it, is quite provocative and damaging to the Arena Party that leads the governing coalition. Can you tell us a bit about that, Lara?
Yes, indeed, Warwick. I mean, I think the key for people in this region to be aware of is the requirement and I guess the position of the FMLN, which has been quite consistent since the signing of the peace accords back in 91, and they're coming into effect in 92, whereby they have they have complied with all of the terms and conditions of the peace accord, and there was actually a piece of legislation very soon in the so-called transition to peace process whereby amnesty was granted to perpetrators of various crimes during the years of the Civil War, the period that the peace accord covered. And now we see, after 15 years of these peace accords and consistent feedback and evaluation from the FMLN party and their militants over this entire period of time, pointing out that there are ongoing violations of human rights, and that, in fact, having perpetrators of those human rights violations, and we're talking not just minor sort of violations of people's rights or civil liberties, but actual
atrocities,
absolute war crimes, horrific dismembering and the use of dismembered body parts as warnings to other people throughout the war, those sort of, crimes that you can only get in a society of war. Those the role of the FMLN has consistently been certainly to point those out and to allow a collective memory, if you like, to continue to function, that you can't just forget about these atrocities, that forgiveness is not forgiveness doesn't mean just forgetting about them or not holding people accountable for what they did.
Mm.
So there is a piece of legislation that has been introduced to actually overturn, or a document to overturn the 1993 impunities legislation, and actually see the more horrific of those war crimes brought to account for.
Mm. This is upping the ante a bit, isn't it, Lara? Isn't there a danger there that ARENA could see this as a major threat?
Yes, well, they probably should. As a party that does have a very high connection, has always been the political party, that political party of the oligarchy and the elite, and the military elite that were responsible for the war crimes, and that link is a very clear one. The generals and the other top military people who've been involved in the and connected directly to the death squads. And many of the death squads are named after former ARENA party leaders and who were also either generals or other high-ranking army officials. So yes, those I'm sure those people don't want any sort of accountability to be brought to bear. Those surviving people are still part of the National Assembly or the National Party structures, and it's something that I think the Salvadoran people are saying that they don't accept, that impunity is justice, that they can see that it's time to actually have some justice. And in a funny way, if ARENA had actually, and the ruling party, if they'd been able to live up to their part of the peace accords and their side of the bargain, maybe this wouldn't have come about. Maybe they could have had impunity and put these differences to one side and got on with things. But, perhaps that's impossible as well. That's something that only the Salvadoran people can make a decision on and tell us about, I guess. But the reality is that they haven't been able to move forward. They haven't been able to, ARENA has not been able to live up to its side of the bargain. They have consistently failed to meet the requirements that were set out in the peace accord. And this is 15 years down the track where they continue to flaunt and violate the peace agreements. And the population are aware of it and fed up with it. And they're not going to buy the lies anymore. you know, they try to keep pulling the communist menace out of a hat, and so you've got these gorillas and baby eaters and the communist menace there that's going to drive us further down the drain hole. Well, Salvadoran people are saying, gee, we don't see how it can get much worse. I mean, we're continually having to fight to stop water being privatised and to be able to afford basic food items and healthcare and so on and so forth. I mean, you've promised people peace 15 years ago and the ability to work together towards a new society, and a very deeply divided society, and one where the mass of poor people and of intellectuals and the you know, the heritage of the country in that intellectual sense, the universities, although the university had been closed, of course, during the war for the parts of the time, and many people that were based on the campuses and the intellectual and creative life of the country, they were lefties, they were progressive people, they were supporting, well, they were certainly anti-fascist, which was what counted. I guess that was the degree of the alliance, as you would have seen yourself when you were over there during the war. And those people, you know, there were certain expectations which just hadn't been met. And it's not that they just haven't been met for the first few years. It's like a decade and a half. It's a new generation that has come to adulthood, and a new generation of people saying that they have expectations that are just, that are not only not being met, but that they're very deeply unhappy with what neoliberalism has done.
Yeah, and this you know, this challenge to the impunity, the impunity agreement, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, the legislation, actually.
The legislation, yes.
That's right, which protected these criminals.
Well, but that's quite extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, as an international precedent, I mean, this must be one of the, very rarely does it happen after a civil war or even any war, that this concept of impunity, which has been around for quite a while, has been challenged. And
that's right. You'll find even amongst the progressive think tanks, the line that is generally accepted and put, and for logical reasons, the reasons that will make sense to most of us, is, okay, we want to actually, for example, we want a truth commission, and we want to be able to get to the truth, the heart of what happened. We want to actually, people want to know what happened, and so it's more important to provide impunity, to provide protection so that witnesses and even the perpetrators of the crime will come forward and tell us what actually happened. It was more important for people to know and get that evidence together, and perhaps even to have some compensation or whatever steps come next. But they will suspend then the prosecution of people in order to get their full cooperation with the process. And we've seen it in so many tribunals and commissions and investigations now in countries throughout Africa, Asia and the Pacific and Latin America, that there is this impunity granted in order to get testimonies. And
But that hasn't happened in El Salvador.
No, it absolutely did happen. That there was a truth commission, and that has happened, and that's still the case in El Salvador. The legislation that's in place is the impunities legislation, and these people at the moment face no danger of any prosecution. One of the interesting reasons why I think the FMLN even raised revoking the impunities legislation would have to be the amount of activity attributed again to death squads over the past 18 months or more. In fact, when we start to have a look at reports of death squad type activity, it's been happening consistently since the end of the war. And we've spoken many times about the wonderful community radio announcer Mariposa and her role both during the war and right through to the modern day.
And it seems to be on the rise, you know, even more in this lead up to the elections, and it's getting so blatant now that some of the perpetrators are openly identify themselves with Arena. Wasn't there a recent incident in...
Yes, in El Salvador, just in the last 24 hours there's been... But yes, there's actually probably a series of incidents we'd go through and document in recent weeks and months. In fact, I think somebody's already put together about a 12-month submission to urgently calling on the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights and the United Nations to investigate these sorts of attacks that are directly linked to either the Arena Party or specific death squad signatures, if you like, or ways of carrying out attacks and of letting their calling card be known. And even just overnight, as you were just saying, a recent activity in the San Salvador district overnight, there was a team of people door knocking and campaigning, very clearly, visibly identified as FMLN, with a candidate door knocking house to house, which is how the FMLN party has continued to carry its work out since the end of the war. That's why they're a popular and mass-based party. And the numbers of which I don't think we would have even seen in Australia, with about four times the population, a political party of the equivalent size in Australia would be having close to 1 million members. it's something we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, in fact, more, perhaps even closer to 2 million as a percentage of the population. So this is a party with a huge popular participation directly as party members. And they were door knocking just in a small group in this little area in San Salvador overnight, when they were set upon by a group of armed thugs who also proudly bore their party's banner. And of course it was the ruling governing party ARENA who they represented and their candidate. And so there are three young people in hospital and an adult in hospital, put in hospital overnight with injuries as a result of...
Did they use baseball bats or...?
It just says, the report I've got is actually just an SMS message to say that a group of FMLN activists have been attacked by armed members clearly identified with the ARENA clothing and support, and I'm not clear if I translate it whether they were actually... out in a group with the ARENA candidate, or whether they had material identifying themselves as supporting the ARENA candidate, right, Norman Quijano. But it is clear that they, you know, this is a confrontation between the two groups, but that the ARENA, the fascist party supporters, were actually armed, and it doesn't say with what sort of weapons. The fact that they're alive would probably indicate, as you said, baseball bats or knives or... perhaps not necessarily firearms.
And
so it depends if it's a message, if it's sending a message to people by wounding them, you know. It's hard to say. I hope we'll have some more news about that before the next...
And has there been any news about, has there been any reaction from, you know, members or representatives of the FML? Have you received anything?
Yes, they do mention in this email they're putting an urgent call out to all of the FMLN membership to maintain calm in the area, to make sure that they don't respond to provocations, that they don't respond with violence to those provocations. And this is an area that's very well organised within San Salvador, because if you recall, in the previous elections, the Dr. Violeta Menjivar, who won the Lord Mayorship of San Salvador, a very important position in the Salvadoran political process, the previous election results were withheld for her position, because it was a clear victory for the FMLN and for Dr. Menjivar, but the ARENA party did not want to concede that victory to the FMLN, and there were almost riots, massive protests and an enormous number of people that gathered around the electoral tribunal at the time, and at that stage ARENA realised they had no choice but to allow the results to be announced, and there was no way they were going to disperse the crowd quietly without allowing their victorious Lord Mayor to be properly recognised. And this is the worry with the elections coming up in 2009, of course, next year, and a lot of these attacks and the violence that ARENA is using at the moment is specifically aimed to discourage people from expressing their vote in 2009, or the Democratic will in 2009. And I've had many people comment to me, they wonder how many of the tens of thousands of deaths that appeared from the Civil War will appear as having voted for ARENA yet again 15 years after the end of the war, and for some 20 to 30 years after they were killed or disappeared. And people, you know, certainly involved on popular consciousness, at least people are very convinced that ARENA is rolling out these troves of dead voters.
That's pretty cynical, isn't it? I mean, I remember when I was there, they talked about ghost soldiers, you know, that they were paying salaries to soldiers who had already been killed, or soldiers who didn't actually exist, and it was going into the military pension fund. But, I mean, this is even more cynical than that. This is not only do they take your life, but they take your vote as well.
a perpetual vote for the fascist party that took your life.
Yeah, it's
certainly, as I said, that's very much a part of popular consciousness, if not actually yet demonstrated to be true. And I haven't researched that myself to be able to really pass any comment. But certainly the electoral fraud was reported on in the Truth Commission reports earlier on.
Yeah. And go on. It's just it's interesting that this is the first time. I mean, we've been tracking these incidents over the last year or so, and this is the first time that they've actually been able to identify perpetrators of this kind of violence as being associated with ARENA. Because the problem with the other, apart from having the signature of the death squads, is that the police insisted on treating them as just violent crimes. And has there been any sort of reaction from the authorities about this particular incident?
I'm not informed yet of whether or not, and of course with the time difference, you know, I expect that I'll know something tomorrow, that we'll be able to report something tomorrow, but at this stage, all they've said is that the Lord Mayor herself, Dr. Violeta Menhiva, was actually going directly to the, she wasn't part of the group that was attacked, but she has, because it's in her municipality, that she's taken it on board herself to go to the Attorney General's office and report and denounce those the actions of those members of ARENA that were involved, and also that, you know, as I said, she put the call out to people in her municipality to not respond to violence with violence, to be calm and to stay calm. And this is going, we're going to see the role of political leaders such as Dr. Menhivard and other FMLN leaders and community, you know, recognised community activists and leaders who on the whole tend to be identified either with the FMLN party or are actually members of the FMLN party themselves, where it's appropriate to be a member of the party, leaders of those independent movements, trade unions, community organisations and so on. Obviously they're independent of political parties, and they also recognise, you know, where their support comes from and their political support comes from and where they get grief from. And the role that they play in maintaining peace within civil society is going to be incredibly important, particularly in January and March of next year as the combined electoral process.